This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
Just a quick note, this podcast contains explicit language.
Stephen, where are you doing most of your listening these days? Is it still in your car?
Well, pre-pandemic, I listened a lot in the car. And as I'm doing less commuting and more working from home, I've set up some Bluetooth speakers around my house so that I have kind of more ambient, not necessarily ambient music, though sometimes ambient music, but music kind of on the wind in my home, trying not to distract the other people who live in my house. So,
is it different songs going in different rooms of the house? Do you have like themed areas of your home?
You know, that's a really good idea. I like the idea of like, this is the funk room.
I was going to say, it sounds, listeners, this may sound like a ridiculous idea, but Stephen does have a home arcade. I would not put it past him.
I do. I think that should be playing mostly the music of 1983 to 1986 when I was the biggest chunk of my life was spent in arcades.
Sure, outside. Biggest your hair ever was.
It is. My hair was absolutely massive.
I've seen the photos. Just a regular Richard Marx.
Richard Marx was probably the most common comparison. Also, if you watched The Young and the Restless, Michael Damian, who played Danny Romolotti, I got that comparison a lot. Though that may fall on some deaf ears from people born after 1978.
Well, why don't we jump ahead to the present then?
Yeah, well, let's get this kicked off. This is New Music Friday from NPR Music for March 22nd. I'm Stephen Thompson. Daoud Tyler Amin, should we kick off with a little Waxahachie?
Let's do it. This is Katie Crutchfield's sixth album as Waxahachie. It's called Tiger's Blood. And Stephen, I don't know how you feel about this, but to me, this is an artist with eras. I mean, every time that she drops something new, I'm compelled to think about her in that way because it's been quite a thing to witness over the past 10, 12 years. She started out in 2012 with this, you know, quiet little cabin record. Someday I'll have a better reference point than Bon Iver, but that's the vibe, right? American Weekend, her first Waxahachie record, is this quiet, spare thing, healing from a little bit of heartbreak, takes her guitar to the family cabin and makes this thing that a lot of bruised hearts and minds end up connecting with. And then over the next couple of years, she has this middle period, and she's adding pieces bit by bit. Cerulean Salt from 2013 is kind of a chamber piece. Ivy Trip and Out in the Storm are building up more towards the idea of a band. And then in 2020, we get St. Cloud, which is this sort of heartland folk record with like an expanded vista in what it's trying to cover. The instrumentation has spread out a little bit. She is focusing in on sobriety, something that we should talk about a little bit.
Absolutely.
And even though that record was tossed into the gaping maw, that was the first year of the novel coronavirus, it made it out alive.
She really did.
I think doubled her audience doing that record.
Yeah, I mean, it ended up being a huge breakthrough record, and it also showcased a sound that really felt more polished and more kind of and wrapped up in a lot of signifiers of like Americana music. Mm-hmm. I think the way you describe it as her having phases and certainly the cabin origins. I mean, in keeping with that with that analogy to Bon Iver, it's not just the myth-making around, you know, she retreated to a cabin, but it's also, I feel like these albums map over her personal experiences in a very vivid way. They are really intrinsically tied to her biography in ways that make it, you know, easier to latch onto them and relate to them personally, depending on where you are in your own journey. And so you have a combination of a sound that has gotten ever more assured and ever more polished with like, here's what's going on in her life. And maybe I've had, you know, similar experiences along the way. And one thing she's talked about with this new record, Tiger's Blood, is that it's kind of grounded in this idea of like, my life is not chaotic. My life is not falling apart. Yeah. I am kind of finding my place amid the everyday and finding some comfort in there. And so I really appreciate, you know, we talk all the time about breakup records and falling apart records and my life is in chaos records. And any fan of music, I'm sure, has had a debate about like, do you like it when artists you love suffer?
Sure. Do you need to be a tortured poet?
Do you need to be a tortured poet? Perfectly put. I have a feeling we will continue to have that debate as other records come out spring. But I root for my favorite artists. I root for my favorite artists not only to make good music, but to have good lives.
Yeah.
And to experience happiness and joy. And every time I hear a breakup record by an artist I love, I'm like, I want to hear a contentment record from you. Mm-hmm. I want to hear a record. It doesn't mean you can never sing about hard stuff. As a listener, I go through hard stuff. My life is a mess. I want to experience, you know, I want songs that help me connect to hardship as much as anybody. But I want the artists I love to be happy and content and feel like they're living their best lives. And so this record for me manages to capture a lot of the polish and a lot of the assuredness of these records that she has broken through with, coupled with messaging that is like, I'm really happy for her.
Yeah.
I like where she's finding herself in her life. I like her kind of growing into who she is and feeling comfortable in her own skin and writing songs about that.
It bears saying she spent her entire childhood, adolescence, and early adulthood basically on the road. She got into playing in bands very, very young, usually with her sister, Alison Crutchfield. And part of that story around American Weekend that has come out later as she's come to be more disclosing about it is that that record was written and recorded in a week. That week was also a bender. She was, you know, just deep into the bottle trying to, you know, excavate some feelings. And so St. Cloud was kind of a breakthrough moment in this way that you're describing, where you see her on the cover and she's, you know, stretched out in a field sitting on top of a pickup truck. And it just seems like everything has slowed down. Mm-hmm. And as she has come to explain, that was the first record that she wrote entirely sober, and it was hard for her. It was a real challenge, sort of reevaluating her relationship to creativity and figuring out who to be in the ears of her listeners in that way.
I've been yours for so long. Come right back to it. I let my mind run wild. Don't know why I do it. You just settle in like a song we know it. If I can keep up, we'll get right back to
The song Right Back to It is the first song that we heard from this record. And if St. Cloud is a truck, then to me, I think this record is the riverboat that she and MJ Lenderman are cruising down the river on in this music video. And that gets us into the personnel on this thing, which is pretty impressive. You've got the brothers Brad Cook and Phil Cook from Megaphone, and previously D. Armand Edison, to go back to Bon Iver. Yeah,
to go back to Bon Iver. All roads lead back to Bon Iver.
Yeah. Wisconsin represent. You must feel right at home.
Yes, I do.
Brad Cook is producing like he did on St. Cloud. Phil Cook is playing banjo and keys and other things. Mm-hmm. And then MJ Linderman from the band Wednesday and of his own solo career plays guitar on every song and sings on about a third of them. I think the story goes that he initially came in just for this song, Right Back to It. And as soon as they heard him on it, they were like, you gotta stay, dude.
Can you play on this whole record?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting to connect what Waxahachie's doing to other bands. You know, Wednesday, you know, you have that kind of gnarled southern rock sound fused with indie rock.
And Katie Crutchfield's a southern gal, originally from Alabama.
And Katie Crutchfield is from Alabama. You know, Waxahachie is named for Waxahachie Creek in Alabama. I like hearing bands that kind of have a spiritual connection and a regional connection, kind of working together and bringing together those sounds. If you listen to a song from this record like Ice Cold, that's bringing kind of a little bit of rock energy to it. It's not all floating down on that riverboat. There's also a certain amount of musculature to this sound that I think Crutchfield wears really well.
Totally. The thing that I like about what she's done with it is that the drums here are a little less driving, and in a given song, they take a minute to get going. So it's sort of like it's not necessarily in a hurry to get where it's going, but it does feel good about it. It's very assured. It has tons of momentum all the time.
Do you have another favorite song from this record?
Boy, oh boy. I mean, that opening song, Three Sisters, is a good example of that kind of just sort of gentle, patient, you know, I know what I'm doing energy.
I pick you up inside a hopeless prayer. I see you beholding to nothing. I make a living crying, it ain't fair. See why you would lie, it was never the love you wanted. It's a state of mind you design, you get everything that you want.
I also love that its melody has a little bit of Come and Get Your Love's DNA in it. You know what I'm talking about?
What's
the matter with it? Her melody is different, to be clear, but she's locked into that same thing where it's
we're
like,
not going to excerpt it. We're just going to let people imagine from us singing.
I really just mean that she's found a note, and that note is home. It's a just sort of a resonant frequency within the song that feels really good to sing, and so she keeps returning to it over the course of the phrase.
That's Waxahachie. Waxahachie's new album, as you said, Daoud, is called Tiger's Blood. Let's go next to Tyla, the ubiquitous source of the song Water, which I hear every time I turn on a radio.
Make me lose my breath, make me water.
Tyla's new album is self-titled. Let's hear a little bit of the song Breathe Me.
Baby, when you face me, I can tell.
Tyla is a South African singer who won a Grammy this year for Best African Music Performance for the aforementioned extremely ubiquitous song Water. This is her first full-length album. It's got, you know, all-star guests from Becky G to Tems to the rapper Gunna to Travis Scott. This feels to me like this is poised to be one of the biggest debuts of 2024 and like a pretty star-making record if her star isn't already made.
I mean, it's really multilingual in every way. Mm-hmm. You've got this just barely 22-year-old from Johannesburg mm-hmm. who is situated between Western R&B and pop sounds, and then Amapiano, the South African style of kind of jazzy house music with some pop elements that really has been making more and more of an international impression in the past few years. She pops up in 2019 first as a teenager with a song called Getting Late that gets some attention in the States. And then since then, she's been steadily bubbling up. She, you know, got signed to Epic Records. She's got a single there and a collab here. Until in 2023, she makes this giant leap with Water and wins not only a Grammy, but is the first ever Grammy for Best African Music Performance. It was a brand new category, and she was the first one. And you can watch her getting that award. You can find the clip on YouTube. She is stunned. And not like Hollywood, like OMG face stunned. She is like, this
not like
was
every
not
time Taylor Swift wins anything.
Yeah, it's, I know, we can't stop talking about Taylor Swift. It's she is all around us. She is just like flustered. She is like, I don't know what to do. This is not what was supposed to happen. And in the middle of her acceptance speech, she actually stops and says, "Sorry, if you don't know me, my name is Tyla, and I am from South Africa."
If you don't know me, my name is Tyla. I'm from South Africa. And last year, God decided to change my whole life.
So this is one of two records that we're discussing this week that begins sort of media res. The opening track, it fades in, and you sort of seem to catch the artist just kind of noodling around and working out an idea in private. We hear some studio chatter, maybe listening back to a mix before the curtain goes up for real. And then the song Safer is so immediately rhythmically interesting to me because of how it's challenging my assumptions about dance music, about electronically produced music. I think my ears are trained to expect the kind of four on the floor stomp that you typically associate with dance-aligned music, and this keeps withholding it. It keeps walking up to the line, and at the end of each section, we get that kind of energy-ramping drum fill that makes you expect a full-on drop, and then it slides back into this breathier, more polyrhythmic kind of feel.
Glad that you said, like, there's a breathy quality to this record. I think that's a really good way of putting it. One of the words I put in my notes was dreamy. There's a real dreaminess, kind of a transporting quality to this record. And to me, one thing that I kept coming back to listening to it is just how clever this particular genre fusion is. You describe kind of a lot of the similarities in a lot of American and European pop music. And the little twist that it gets from the introduction of Amapiano styles into the sound is so welcome to me, and the kind of African music crossovers that have really become huge pop hits really benefit from having just that like that slight twist to them.
Yeah.
And this record to me, it's so. Like you said, it's confounding the expectations of somebody who listens to a lot of very, you know, of mainstream American and European pop music without sounding jarring.
Yeah.
It's just like a very clever and very accessible quality. And as I'm listening to this record and kind of its mixture of R&B and pop and hip hop with that South African house music, I just kept thinking like, man, this thing feels about 8 hits deep.
Yeah. I also love that setting, which feels so legible to ears that are trained for Western pop music, but also so distinct to and challenging of it allows for the guest stars to really stunt when they show up. There's a fun feature from Becky G on the song On My Body. And Becky G brings a different flavor of swagger to the proceedings. It's this very, like, unbothered kind of sexy. The way that, like, when somebody is very good at flirting, you quickly realize that it is you who wants to impress them. And that's right. The vibe that she's hitting. One other song that I want to point out is the song Butterflies. You give me butterflies, got me falling in the deep end of your disguise. Spot with the honey lies, so I feel this might be my goodbye. Which, again, the rhythm here is what gets me, but it does it in a pretty unexpected way, because the rhythm is not really driven by percussion. Instead, there is a guitar, or some kind of guitar-like instrument, with some really heavy effects on it. So it takes away some of the airiness and top end that you'd expect from that instrument, and instead you just kind of really feel the thump. And that's kind of what's keeping the time. It's just hitting those eighth notes with this arpeggiated figure going through the chords.
Well, that's Tyla. Her new self-titled album is out now. We've got a couple more records we're going to talk about in depth, plus our lightning round. But first, let's take a quick break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Learning. IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. Get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when you sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
This message comes from Capital One, offering commercial solutions you can bank on. Now more than ever, your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services, all tailored to your short and long-term goals. Backed by the strength and stability of a top 10 commercial bank, their dedicated experts work with you to build lasting success. Explore the possibilities at CapitalOne.com/commercial, a member FDIC.
And we are back. I'm Stephen Thompson here with Daoud Tyler Amin. We are talking about some of the best new albums out on March 22nd on this new episode of New Music Friday from NPR Music and All Songs Considered. Next up, we've got the singer-songwriter Sierra Ferrell. Her new album is called Trail of Flowers, and this track is American Dreaming.
Wake up again in an old motel. Is it somewhere different? I can't tell. Every set of curtains opens to the open road, and I'm missing you like hell. This fan is like a prison cell. When I know you have gone with her and I can't go back home, I've been American dreaming. Oh, oh, I'm American dreaming. Oh, 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 I'm American dreaming. Oh, oh, but I never seem to get no rest.
I have to say to you, the line that stuck with me more than any other line in this record is in this song, American Dreaming, which is every set of curtains opens to the open road. Mm. It's simple, but boy, is that a pretty damn effective evocation of life on the move.
Yeah, and that's such a big part of Sierra Ferrell's story, right? Her, you know, we've talked about a few other artists and their backstories, and hers is a really interesting one. She was kind of an itinerant West Virginia singer-songwriter, kind of drifting from place to place, playing music wherever she could. She went viral a few years ago and really took off. She put out an album in 2021. Her debut was called Long Time Coming, which kind of tells you how long she's been at this, even though she's still kind of a kind of what you would consider a rising star.
Yeah.
And, you know, she sings a lot about kind of trying to find her place in the world. And you know, she's not really, she doesn't necessarily feel like somebody who has been not only tethered to one place, but tethered to one sound. Her music mixes a lot of like roots music, bluegrass, country, ragtime, with a little bit of a kind of, with a little notes of psychedelia to it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really coming up big in kind of this subset of country music that I would describe as like country music that wins awards without getting played on the radio.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and it's funny, like when I saw, like, she's been touring with Zach Bryan, and you're like, of course she is.
Yeah.
She's because that's the, you know, that's the pocket that she's in. But she's also toured with groups like the Avett Brothers. She's toured with Mitski, which gives you a sense that she's not necessarily fitting into this like Nashville machine, but kind of riding the rails alongside it, if that makes sense.
No, I think that's the right image. And speaking of image, I mean, she's a hard book to read by its cover. You know, Trail of Flowers, the title, I think the story is that she has a reputation for just wearing flowers, weaving flowers into her hair. And so if you look around, you know, a room or a building or whatever, and you see a trail of flowers around there, it's, Sierra's been here. But also, she is a singing fiddler, which I did not know until I went and saw her recent performance on Jimmy Kimmel, and I was like, oh boy, this is not a combo that you see all that often.
That's tricky. You have to hold your head at an angle and sing effectively.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
Also, speaking of surprises, can we take a minute for the song Rosemary, which has a very engaging bait and switch that I enjoy a lot.
Way back in the mountains in a deeply forest hill, where me and my true love, we said I do. But nothing lasts forever in today's world, though it seems, when there's so much evil, evil.
This song begins, at least to my ears, as a kind of Jolene-like lament. This sort of, you know, appeal to the other woman. You took my man, how could you do it? What do you have that I don't have? How can I have it? And then, by the end of the song, the other woman and the cheating partner are both in the dirt. And the song has been revealed as a stealth murder ballad.
Mm-hmm. And underneath that flower bush, well, Rosemary waits for you. Yes, Rosemary waits for you.
I've been surprised by songs before. I've heard murder ballads before. I don't know if I've ever had the experience of hearing a narrator over the course of a couple of minutes go from being the victim in the situation to fully embracing her villainy, just being like Maleficent by the end. Whatever, just come at me.
I can relax, like I can relax, like I I can relax.
I think bait and switch is a really interesting way to describe this record, because I'm really intrigued listening to it, how often I expected her to go hard, and instead she pulls back.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at a song title like Chitlin' Cookin' Time in Cheatham County,
mm-hmm.
and you think you're going to get like a big stompy rave up, right? You're going to get like a little bit of corn pone, and instead you get something that feels more contained and subdued. She often dials back when you think she's gonna step on the gas.
There's a quiet in a peaceful county in the state of Tennessee. You will find it in a book now that they call Geography.
Right, and that's actually her take on a song from the 30s, I think. An old-timey musician named Fiddlin' Arthur Smith, and this song sort of rooted in, you know, this idea of how slaves, enslaved people would get the last of the meat. That's the origin of chitlins. And I think she's explained that, you know, she's somebody who knows that in traversing through all of these styles, she's borrowing a lot from Black music and wanted to acknowledge that, you know, explicitly.
You mentioned kind of pulling from across generations of music. I mentioned up front a certain psychedelic quality. I kind of kept coming back occasionally to Karen Dalton. Listening to this record, Karen Dalton's one of my all-time favorite singers, and there's certainly more dirt and rust on Karen Dalton's voice than there is on Sierra Ferrell's. But there is this kind of, there's a genuinely wandering quality to both of them that makes their music feel really lived in. And I'm so grateful for that listening to this record. And it makes me so curious to hear what she does next. She's just, to me, she is just a very welcome presence in Americana music. And she's so musically literate across many genres and generations in ways that I hope more people emulate.
Yeah, I mean, there's a sense of progression in a lot of these songs. There's a song called I Could Drive You Crazy, which has a fun structural trick, which is that the song approaches what could be a logical end, and then it bursts into this long instrumental refrain, over the course of which you start to hear the sound of cheering and clapping in the background, which it turns out is a real crowd that was recorded at a New Year's Eve concert that you played. There's also I'll Come Off the Mountain, one of my favorites, I think, from this record, which indulges in a folk tradition that I really enjoy, which is introducing a sing-along phrase, in this case the title phrase, that just feels really good to sing, that if you were playing the song in a room full of people, they'd be joining in every time.
I'll come off the mountain now if you just say my name.
And then each verse becomes an exercise in starting somewhere new and then finding a pathway back to that home phrase in melody, in meaning, all of it. It's all about finding your way back home.
Ooh, you surely can sting. I'll come off the mountain now if you just say my name.
It's great. Sierra Ferrell's new album is called Trail of Flowers. We've got one more record before our lightning round. J-Lynn has a new record called Akoma. This song features Bjork, and it's called Borealis.
So it's been a while since the last proper album by J-Lynn. I think Black Origami was 2017, is that right?
Yeah.
But she has been busy. She is a Pulitzer finalist as of last year.
Yeah.
She composed a work called Perspective for the percussion ensemble Third Coast Percussion, fellow Midwesterners, that was shortlisted in the music category. So J-Lynn, people probably know her pedigree, the sort of sonic canvas that she's steeped in, is footwork. She's from Gary, Indiana. Footwork is this style of dance music from Chicago that is derived from Chicago house music, but also drum and bass, hence these really frenetic, you know, sped up beats. To me, it is the rare experimental slash electronic record that actually gets more accessible the deeper you go into the track list. You start out with this first track, Borealis, and it is super disorienting. By the time you get to the end, I'm hearing moments that I feel like I could hear in like an Apple commercial.
<laughs> it's accessible enough to play in an Apple commercial, but she also truly has that kind of MacArthur genius Grant energy.
Yeah.
In especially in her collaborators. You know, we've mentioned Bjork. Philip Glass is on this record. Mm-hmm. The Kronos Quartet pops up on this record. In the past, she's worked with Holly Herndon, who is a relentless experimentalist. She's worked with Sophie, R.I.P., who is trafficked more in like hyperpop. So, you know, you kind of get a sense looking at the collaborators, just a real sense of playfulness and experimentation and like just deep knowledge of art and sound. You know, she recently made a Sun Ra tribute with the Kronos Quartet, which again, you're able to triangulate out. Like, this is somebody who is constantly art on an artistic search. And at the same time, the music itself is very hard driving, is very hypnotic and propulsive, and it never feels like it's traversing the same terrain twice. And so I found this to be a very, very compelling record. And I think one of the reasons, Daoud, that it feels more accessible as it goes along is it takes a little time to acclimate yourself to her sound world. And once you do, you're living in it.
Yeah. I mean, the song Iris, when I first heard it, almost made me a little sick in a good way. There is a chord pattern in Iris that is being aggressively modulated. It sounds like it starts out filtered kind of low, and then it sweeps upward, and there's maybe some kind of phase effect on it. And it's hard to describe, but the thing it reminded me of is the first time that you put on noise-canceling headphones. Do you know the feeling I'm talking about? It's kind of like there's a vacuum effect that's sort of sucking your eardrums toward the outside of your head.
Yeah, I don't like that feeling because that's too close to my own brain. Uh-huh. I like to keep a certain distance from my own brain. And when all I can hear is ringing from my tinnitus and the thoughts in my head, ooh, that's haunting.
She makes it work, though. And she's become so steeped in new music meaning the sort of like contemporary classical music with an experimental edge. You mentioned Kronos Quartet. They're on the track Sodalite. Where Kronos gets chopped to oblivion here, and I love it. Our colleague Tom Heisinger was on All Songs Considered earlier this week talking about this song and said that I think his analogy was that it feels like being inside a pinball machine, which is exactly right.
That'll always be the dream, by the way.
I also want to point out the song Summon, which to me feels like an A24 horror movie score just waiting to happen. You've got the psycho strings, you've got Hans Zimmer like horn blasts, you've got chimes and these jangling metal sounds that really make me want to see some kind of making of doc. If we still had enhanced CDs. Do you remember that? I missed those a little bit.
little promotional videos, explainers. Yeah.
In case you didn't know, enhanced CDs were a fad from the last days of the CD era, where you would get, you know, your Blink-182 record or, you know, Big Willie style, what have you. and if you saw the enhanced CD logo on the back of the case, you could put it into your computer and watch like a tiny 240p video of the artist hanging out in the studio or a trailer for the next record or whatever. It was a very strange time that I have an illogical nostalgia for.
I think it was better than the era in which CDs were briefly copy protected.
Oh, man. Well, now I'm bummed out again. About the third time I heard it, I was like, this is almost like a darkened version of Milkshake. It has that same kind of rhythm to it, and it has, you know, the bell sound. It's, you know, if you know the Hooded Kermit meme, this is kind of like the dark Kermit version of Milkshake. I also think that working with Third Coast Percussion, I mean, maybe I'm making a lot of assumptions, but I hear a lot of percussion sounds here that are much more readably live compared to Black Origami. Things that sound like an object struck in a room before, of course, being chopped up in sequence. There is a sense of real space here that I find really exciting, and that is almost more unsettling for this kind of music that has such an agnostic relationship to time and to linear progression.
Well, I was not expecting a discussion of what the hooded Kermit meme would sound like. But you know what? You know what, Daoud? What you have done exactly that you have reached the core of what our jobs are, and that's to paint pictures with words.
I guess so. So I can tell my mom that that's what I do.
That's right. That's right. You've done it beautifully. Well, that's Akuma by the artist Jay Lin. Highly recommended. And very hooded Kermit. All right, we couldn't get to every worthwhile album out on March 22nd. That's today. So we do have a lightning round with some of our other picks. You'll hear that when we come back.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.
So to close out this week's show, Daoud, let's go back and forth with a few other picks. I am a big, big fan of your first pick.
Okay, I'm glad to hear it, because this is one of my favorite records of the year so far.
Mine too.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't care, but the biggest billboard in Times Square.
So, Rosie Tucker is a songwriter who sits on the slightly punkier side of indie pop, but they've been growing more and more musically sophisticated lately, and also very adept at cramming more words into a 3.5-minute song than you might ever expect. Rosie Tucker has a really adventurous new album out today called Utopia Now.
I furiously co-signed this pick. I love this record. A few weeks ago on All Songs Considered, Brittany Luce and Robin Hilton and I met up to talk about our early contenders for the best songs of 2024. I brought Rosie Tucker's song All My Exes Live in Vortexes, which is so great. Brittany Luce brought a gorgeous dance pop track by Empress Of called Feminine. And now I wanted to shout out that album is finally out. It's called For Your Consideration, and it is a joy.
You probably know Adrian Lenker as the lead singer and guitarist of the band Big Thief, but for just about as long as that band has been around, she has been amassing a pretty impressive solo catalog. Some very spare and lovely acoustic songs, an entire album of guitar instrumentals. She is back today with what she has promised is a fully analog recording. No computers need apply. Adrian Lenker's new album is called Bright Future.
You and I both know there is nothing more to say. Chances shudder, shining eyes, and turned her face away. Leaning on the windowsill, you can could write me someday, and I think you will. We could see the sadness as a gift and still feel too heavy to hold.
Well, for my last pick, I feel like I could have gone in a dozen different directions. You got new records from Brothers Osborne and Gossip, Julia Holter, Shakira. I could have picked so many different things, but I have to tap into my youth and my background as a college radio kid in the early 90s and go with the first album in 7 years and second album since 1998 from the Jesus and Mary Chain, a Scottish band that put out its first album nearly 40 years ago.
Girl, you got nothing. You got me. You got nothing. You got me. And there's nothing. You got me.
The Jesus and Mary Chain has been a huge influence on a ton of kind of alternative rock and shoegaze music, but it also still has its own distinct sound after all these years. Their new record is called Glasgow Eyes.
That would last a day. Well, nothing does, so that's okay. Piss doesn't touch the ground. Give up what you need.
Daoud, that'll do it for New Music Friday. Daoud Tyler Amin, thanks so much for joining me.
Appreciate you, Stephen Thompson. You're just like honey.
Thank you for listening to New Music Friday from All Songs Considered and NPR Music. If you like the show, please tell your friends. Please leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us feedback at allsongs@npr.org. And be sure to subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/musicnewsletter. We've been expanding that and doing some really exciting stuff there. Please remember that if you want to listen to this show sponsor-free, you can support our work by joining NPR Music Plus. Just go to plus.npr.org/NPR Music or search for NPR Music in Apple Podcasts. This podcast was produced by Joaquin Kotler, and we had editorial support from Jacob Gans and Saraya Mohammed. I'm Stephen Thompson.
I'm Daoud Tyler Amin.
Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Hey, we got what we need.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.